This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation universe, how's it going this evening? I am your host, Chris Zellner, and we are discussing the TLC 2016 pay-per-view extravaganza. This is the reaction show. And I'm joined, as always, by Johnny Sorrow. Johnny, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Enjoyed the show.
That's great.
A lot.
All right. We'll talk about it in just a few minutes. And
sorry.
Joined also by now new constant guest, Devin Hales. Devin, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. Doing good. Getting over a bout of the cold. Had to take a Z pack and all that fun stuff. I was sick, and then I have dentist appointments all lined up for the next 2 weeks because I don't take care of myself. So
I went to the dentist on Monday for a routine cleaning, and then I was told when I was there, oh, you have a cavity. It's a very small one. It's one of the smallest we've ever seen. But you have a cavity, which is the first cavity I've ever had in my life. And then they proceed to tell me it's not from eating. She said that it was from heavy brushing, weakening the gums, and it's not actually from eating. So they went in and they did what they needed to do, didn't take a few minutes, and... Yeah, it was just a weird. It was the size of a pinpoint, the cavity. So I was like, "Wow, God. That's crazy."
See, all mine are from drinking too many sodas. But
you know, this is fascinating.
I've had to tone down a lot of the sodas because I had the kidney stones. So. But anyway, that's a whole
bunch. And then you couldn't believe my hip lately, hey?
Well, Johnny, I've got a lot of knee problems right now as well.
Yeah, your knee. I have knees. Knees. I have problems you couldn't believe. Your knees. I know. You should see my MRI.
But there's probably a lot of people tonight that's probably going to have some problems.
No shit.
Because this is a... DLC, so lots of weapons and lots of wild, crazy bumps, and that's what these shows are known for, and this one delivered that one pretty much in spades tonight. So let's go ahead and start it off talking about the pre-show match, which was quite the interesting group, as we had a 10-man tag, Apollo Crews, American Alpha, and the Hype Bros, against Kurt Hawkins, The Ascension, and the Vaudevillains. It was a throw everybody else is on the roster in a match just about. And, it was interesting. We'll start off with you, Devin. Thoughts about this match? And you think it was just a spotlight for American Alpha to get a win and try to, you know, maybe get some shine on them?
Probably, yeah. But, you know, I think it was also to get those other guys on the show, too. It was the match itself was fine. I loved Mojo's I love all of his goofy spots where, like, you know, like I think it was in Survivor Series where he did the duck spot and then he did the ear clap, and now he's bringing back dropping the hammer to his repertoire. But it was okay. I don't recall ever seeing a spot where they all do throw each other through the ropes sequence like that before they went to the ad break.
That was
bizarre.
A Japanese comedy match type spot.
It was bizarre, but I think the match picked up towards the end, and I do think you're right, Chris. It was sort of a way to kind of get all those guys onto the show and have Alpha pick up a win after sort of in some ways. Kind of being screwed out of the tag title shot since they kind of earned their tag title shot, and so, you know, it was a way to get them some momentum after losing to the Wyatts last week.
Yeah, that's a good point, Johnny. Jason Jordan especially looked good here on this hot tag. And, I mean, he's definitely going to be somebody to watch out for in the future. Everybody talks about Chad Gable, but Jason Jordan's going to be just as good, if not better, whenever he breaks out. But
I agree. I agree completely with you on that one. Everyone talks about Chad Gable, but I really think there's a lot of money in Jason Jordan as well. So, yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in this match, though, that there's not a lot of money in. And Apollo Crews, my God, has he fallen down the totem pole, hasn't he? Man, woo. What do you think about the match and Apollo Crews' free fall?
The match, I didn't really care for it, to be perfectly honest. And that tossing spot, I hated, just detested. And I like pretty much everyone in the ring there. Like, even the Ascension has been, like, working harder lately. But there was just too much super choreographed silliness, even for me. You know, and I agree, it's completely about, you know, American Alpha going over, you know, with the Hype Bros, you know, also kind of right underneath them, you know, getting their, you know, their pop, and everyone else is sort of just there. But, and as far as Crews goes, it's, you know, one of those things. They gave him a little bit of a shot, and you know, he wasn't super, you know, and maybe he was put up too soon, maybe not, but you know, he's down there in that. I haven't seen him in forever, so he's down there in that Tim Horner spot on the card. There you go.
He's down in the Barry Horowitz level. Yeah,
but he's feuding though. He's feuding with Curt Hawkins apparently on stuff that we're not watching. And so I mean, at least I guess there's a feud for these two guys. I mean,
I'd really love to see Apollo Crews sing Shameless though. So,
which reminds me, you know, you mentioned that, Johnny. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first time that, you know, Devin, we've talked since Superstars was canceled. How heartbroken were you over that announcement?
not that heartbroken, actually. That's because Superstars has stunk since the brand split. So
he's like, a weight has been lifted off of me.
Exactly. That's actually literally how I felt. I guess there's the smallest of concerns for SmackDown under Carter's not getting on a C show, but I think eventually they'll start switching up main event where they'll have like one Raw C show undercard match and then like one SmackDown C show undercard match. And they've already done that a few times on main event since the brand split. So I expect that to happen.
I would hope so, for sure, because some of these guys definitely need the work.
Right.
You know, that's for sure. All right, one more thing on this pre-show. I'm curious to see how Johnny thought about this. Peter Rosenberg sitting on the panel.
Yeah.
He's a guy from Hot 97 New York, works on ESPN's wrestling website, writing stuff. How do you think of his performance tonight?
I thought he was fine. I'm not super, obviously, as super familiar with the guy as a lot of other people are. I listened to a few of his interviews with wrestlers on YouTube, and there was the one with Randy Orton I really enjoyed, and maybe like a few others. That's pretty much my only exposure to the guy. So I was sort of thinking he was more, I didn't think he was as present in media as he apparently is, because everyone's like, oh, that's a guy from Hot 97, and he's done ESPN. I'm like, I thought he was sort of just like a local radio guy. So I was like, oh, good for that guy. But I thought he was fine. I love Booker T calling him a mark.
Which was funny because our buddy Robert tweeted out a screenshot of Dave on the Observer message board earlier today. When talking about the only people that still use the word mark and smarks in the business are people that are marks and smarks.
Yeah, well, I guess it wouldn't be Booker T, would it? Yeah. But he even did it. But he did it like in a somewhat clever way. You know, it wasn't like you're a mod. It was, you know, he was showing his Bella socks, and he's like, I thought your name was Rob, not Mark. You know, and and I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny. I thought it was funny. Rosenberg obviously wasn't offended, you know, so.
No. It was hilarious for him, I guess.
Yeah. Wait, all right, let's go to the Vince's main show. Vince is in Booker's ear. Call him a fucking Mark. Yeah. Now.
All right, we start the main show off, and I don't know if I was surprised if this was the opening match or not, but tag title match, SmackDown tag titles. Heath Slater and Rhino defending against Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Randy Orton, mega over in this match. Fans are going nuts. This was an odd match. Johnny, I know you're a big fan of Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family as a gimmick, but I don't know. This match kind of, it was, I don't know, flat's the word. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I thought it was, I was surprised as well that it opened, and I'm never one to go around like, if I had booked this, it'd been like, the chair match would have opened, and then we would have put this match in that slot. That's what I would have done. And it's time. It was time for the Rhino-Slater thing to end, and I hated the build-up to Randy Orton being in the Wyatt family. It was too dumb, even for me. And didn't like it. But what they're doing now, and then the thing with Luke Harper and Orton not trusting each other, but he took a bullet for him, and that it all harkens back. There's a lot of storytelling to it, and I think they come across really as a threatening team. And it's like, well, what do we do with these two guys at this point? Let's do this. And how they got there was horrendous, but the result here I'm liking. So, and cool, you know, they get the belts, you know, there's only so, as we'll see, with something that's really cute and catches on, you're going to have to end it before it gets too annoying. And that could have happened to Slater and Rhino. And we'll see in the main event what they did with the other one.
Yeah, well, Slater and Rhino has been kind of been on the back burner anyway of late. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the past month, their push has kind of slowed.
It's great, but there's only so much you can do with it.
Yep.
Yeah, but the thing is I think I would have made the change with the Usos. I think they should have been the ones to take the titles off of Slater and Rhino. Maybe that's just me. Devin, I'll get your thoughts on that. And your thoughts about the whole, you know, the whole Luke Harper thing is one of those things where it's, you had, the past few weeks, you've had to really pay attention to what was going on with Luke staring at Orton and stuff like that. But tonight, they just put it on blast out there. They went 100 with it at the end of the match. What are your thoughts about the match, the angle, and should the Usos have won those belts before?
I think it was the right decision for the Wyatts to win the belt. I think, you know, I've loved the heel Usos, but I think they also kind of lost something after their initial turn a little bit too, as far as like reactions with the audience. And now with Johnny, you know, it was definitely time for Slater for Slater and Rhino to drop the belts. But with you know, the Wyatts winning. And this Orton Bray combination, I think it's fresh. It kind of changes up the tag division. It makes some interesting matchups going forward. So I think it's a good thing. The match was weird.
What?
Did actually think Ray
Orton was pause.
Actually pretty good at it. I like his timing on the power slam. He always times his RKOs very well. So I actually thought, in some ways, he was kind of the highlight of the match in ring. And they definitely have heightened the Harper-Orton interactions, like, directly on camera. I think they did that specifically tonight because it's a big show, and they kind of, if you know, the average fan might not catch everything, so I think they're kind of like really kind of hitting that home on a bigger show so that everyone's kind of aware of that storytelling if they haven't really paid that much attention to it. But I don't want to go on to too much speculation, but there's a lot of things they could do with this Wyatt thing. You know, they could have Harper, you know, turn face, or they could have they could still make it a whole ruse with Orton. There's a lot of ways they could go with it. So it's interesting.
It's funny. Before we move on, is that the build up stuff was so over the top and ridiculous, and now it becomes all this really subtle stuff with Harper and Orton. It's such a dramatic shift of tone with what they were doing here.
Where I'm curious is you know, is this going to be one of those deals where they do Freebird rules where 2 out of 3 will defend, like New Day?
That's what it looked like when Bray put the belt on Harper.
You know, when I thought it was just about a measure of respect, but they could easily do that, and it would make perfect sense.
Right.
And then that could be something that could lead into, you know, the turn that's going to happen. It's just who's going to be the one turning and whatever. So, yeah, and the RKO was, you know, really well done. The finish was really well done. And nothing to note here, this is Bray's first championship in the promotion. So, yep.
And
Bray Wyatt's finally getting gold.
And Heath didn't take the pinfall.
Heath didn't take the pinfall. That's correct. Rhino did. Yeah, you're right. All right, backstage, you had Dean Ambrose talking about how James Ellsworth was resting at home, keeping his chin up. And then he talks about, you know, the violence of TLC matches, et cetera, et cetera. The funny thing, one of the main reasons why I brought this up, and I saw this in numerous places tonight. And this is even on, you know, even the Wrestling Observer, even I think Dave. I think Dave did a review of the show on the site. No, it wasn't Dave, it was somebody else. But they kept saying, who is this new interview woman? No, it was Dasha Fuentes. You know, the same Dasha, just had her hair slipped back. I just thought that was funny, the whole show, was people being totally confused who this was. You know, it is Dasha. So, for those of you that didn't know, it was Dasha Fuentes, NXT and SmackDown interview lady. So, that's who it was. And AJ was interviewed by Renee Young, and he you know, did his deal. So, promos are setting the match. All right, next match.
Setting the record straight here on the Reaction Show.
Yes. No Disqualification match up next. Nikki Bella versus Carmella. Now, it was interesting that they did a no DQ match on Raw Monday night, with this match taking place 6 days later. So that was, I wouldn't say it was taking some of the steam off of this, but it definitely was interesting how they did that. But these two went out and did some things. Crowd really wasn't into it. Carmella, you know, gosh, she looked bad from, you know, all the damage she took on SmackDown, you know, from Nikki, legitimately, the black eye and other stuff. So that made it look tough. And you got your weapon usage and stuff like that. But, Devin, I'm praying to God this feud's over with. I'm tired of it. We talked about the match and the reveal at the end that supposedly Natalya is the one that attacked Nikki.
Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't think Carmella was good in it. I didn't think she was absolutely terrible, but she wasn't good. I actually thought Nikki was good in the match. I enjoyed her. I guess the MMA fighter look that Nikki was sporting.
She looked like Daria from NXT.
Yeah. I thought Nikki was actually pretty good in the match. I liked she was working particularly stiff in that match. Like the big kick to the back of Carmella's head, and like you know, just when she would like slam her into the turnbuckle and stuff, or into the ring apron. Like she was working, you know, she was brawling, you know, like appropriately. Carmella was kind of she just kind of, I don't know, seemed lost at times. But I thought Nikki put on a good performance, and I'm pretty sure this feud is over with. I think that was kind of the end of it. I'm sure there'll be a few tags on TV with Carmella and Nikki on opposing sides, but I think this feud's over with. And as far as the Natty reveal, I don't want to go into conspiracy theories or, like, you know, oh, this is what they're actually booking, but I actually think it's a good, I actually think people have raised a good point that it might not have been Natty that attacked her, and that it might have been Becky that attacked her. Now that's just fan theory bullshit, maybe, but that's actually an interesting point to be raised, and we don't know the answer quite yet. But I still suspect it's Natty, but we'll see.
Well,
Johnny, do you think it's a red herring here?
No,
that they're trying to make it look like Natalya, or is it going to be Natalya?
Of course,
and
Natalya.
My question is, has Natalya had some facial surgery done, because she looks different? If you've noticed, I mean, I don't know what's going on there with her cheeks or anything. She just looked different tonight. What do you think?
Well, I think I saw something with her getting on Twitter or something, getting made up for the show, and it was probably more of that, just overly made up for the show. I don't think she's had any facial surgery, and it was not what I was expecting to be asked. this fucking thing, you know. Well, you know, I'm fucking on Merv Griffin. Oh, she said work done.
It just looks that way.
I don't know, but the match, as you said, not helped by we just watched on Raw, Sasha and Charlotte beat the living dog shit out of each other. You know, in the first opportunity to do a quote-unquote hardcore, whatever you want to call it, no DQ match. And they beat the shit out of each other. Welts, everything. It was a spectacle. And in this one, they were going more comedy, you know, because Nikki was smacking her in her ass with the stick. And, yeah, it wasn't very good.
Fire extinguisher.
But here, it was... I had one of those moments where someone walks in on you, because I was watching this by myself tonight. Everyone else had other shit to do. And the fire extinguisher spot, just as it happened, my 20-year-old nephew and his best friend, they walk in to that and go, what the hell is this? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and they're kind of intrigued, but laughing at the whole spectacle of the fire extinguisher. Like, and then... the reveal happens with Carmella going, you don't know what, who really, and they're just sitting there goofing on, and it was one of those moments everyone has where people walk in on you watching wrestling right at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're like, no, it's not always this shitty.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing.
And I don't know what was more embarrassing, you know, the fact that they did that and then followed it up with Natalya doing the promo at K Jewelers with the guy wanted to get the ring for his girlfriend.
Okay, here's the thing.
She just committed she's accused of assault, and here she is now with an engagement ring.
Okay, I think you nailed it, because when that commercial came on, I started laughing uncontrollably and couldn't figure out quite why. I'm like, why is this so funny? You just nailed it. That's why. Wait. she's a terrible back jumping. Let me help you with your engagement, you fucking zero.
You know, every kiss begins with K, and so does Knockout.
And that guy, what a drip that guy is. I want to get a ring, buy a ring with a heart, and propose in the middle of a fucking fuck you.
Well, you know, they did this last year too.
Ugh.
So this is a repeat deal on this show, I guess. Dealing with K Jewelers, they have to do
Christmas time engagements, I guess. I don't know.
I was not aware of a previous and arranged it with Kay.
Yeah,
I don't remember it either.
I don't remember it.
I think last year's actually live in the building.
Really?
They did it. So, but they did this time, you know, on tape. But yeah, I think it was live in the building last year. I remember people booing the proposal. But anyway, more on that in a minute, because that means we have part two coming later in the show.
Oh, I know.
All right, Daniel Bryan's back. What?
No, it stinks. I've got a little echo going on. Yeah. I hear it.
Okay. All right. Well, Daniel Bryan's backstage with Dasha again, and he talks about how he wants Miz to lose against Dolph Ziggler. Miz shows up, you know, saying he wished it was Bryan in the ring with him tonight, so he could push Bryan up the ladder. He told Bryan to enjoy what's about to happen. And then we get the ladder match here, Miz against Dolph for the Intercontinental Championship. I think this, in my opinion, was a tale of two matches. I think the first part was kind of dragging, and then the second part, they really, really picked it up and ended up having a hell of a damn match. Johnny, I know that reading and a couple of you were really high on this match, so spread the love.
Really high is the operative term. that's a softball, if there was ever a softball. But I've been enjoying this feud immensely. We've talked about this on other reaction shows. You know, I love the fact that these two guys who, you know, 6 years ago, they fought all the time, no one gave a shit, and now I do, because the story is something important that I care about. And they've both been killing it. So they go into this, and it's when I get all kind of sentimental about wrestling. It's a ladder match for the Intercontinental title, and I buy into the hype and everything about it. And I'm enjoying these guys' work from month to month. And I thought the whole thing delivered. I thought it built slow on purpose. That's what you're doing. And it went long and it got brutal. And I was even wondering if Miz was legit hurt the way he was hopping around with his knee. I was like, did I just get fooled? You know, with his selling? So I'm thinking maybe, I think he's really injured. And, of course, the finish was exactly what I wanted, because The Miz is probably my favorite guy in wrestling right now. I love a bad guy, and he's the best. He's the best fucking bad guy in wrestling. And I adore this. And maybe if Dolph Ziggler could just decide on one pair of tights, you know, he can't even commit to one pair of tights, let alone trying to beat the Miz.
Heath Slater wore some of his old ones earlier.
That's true. But yeah, I loved every bit of this, because I thought they brought the selling, the hate. This was hateful. This was emotion filled. I mean, it was exhausting to watch, you know, in a great way. Where at the end, you're like, holy shit, you know, and then we'll see what, you know, had to follow it. You know, which wasn't fair, but we'll get on that. I thought this was just tremendous. It was my favorite match of the show.
Interesting. Devin, God knows we've seen hundreds of ladder matches over the years.
Sure.
And now it's got to the point where I'm kind of tired of ladders and stuff like that as gimmicks and matches. You know, it's just a tired concept, because you've seen just about everything that can happen.
Right.
This one was a different beast because of the methodical way it was being worked, and you know, the way they were doing things, working a little bit slower. And I got to give him credit for that. And I thought Miz was pretty damn great in this match. Dolph, you know, did Dolph things. But, what did you think of the match and the promo Miz cut after the match, which was maybe the best part of the whole thing.
I want to add, that was the cherry on top of my little sundae here, because that was the best fucking promo of the year.
It was pretty great. I thought the match was great, and what you alluded to, Chris, is it really wasn't work like the typical spot fest ladder match, you know, we see typically now. That's why I liked it so much. because they did two things. Either they tried to win the match or they tried to kill each other because they hate each other. So either you're trying to win the IC title or you go and you stop and you go, oh, no, I'm going to kill this guy first because that's wrestling and that's what you're supposed to do. And it was refreshing to see a ladder match where guys just didn't, you know, there were the, you know, there was maybe one or two of the typical ladder tropes where they set up two ladders at one point. It was kind of weird, but like they avoided all that kind of like setup time and nonsense and just had a methodical, brutal match. Miz's legwork was disgusting and nasty as hell. I loved after the figure four, he just stood up and just stomped. He just stomped the fuck out of Dolph's leg.
I popped.
In the popped. Ladder. and like, it was just a really, really, really smartly worked match. It made sense why they did the things that they did. It made sense for Dolph Ziggler to try to literally take off Miz's head, you know, when they were outside on the floor and he was literally trying to sandwich his head in the ladders. Like, they worked a really, 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 really good match, and Miz was incredible in this match. I think he did outwork Ziggler, but Ziggler was fine. But yeah, it was a really, really great match, and the post-match promo was one of the better promos of the year. I agree with Johnny. It was pretty great. So I'm all on board the Miz train. I've been for a while, and I hope he sticks around for a really long time because he's amazing.
Go ahead, Johnny.
No, I was going to ask you. And I forgot my point, so go ahead.
All right, well, the question is now for me, I'm sick of this feud now. I mean, we've seen him we've seen him in every match they can do. Where do we go from here? Johnny, I'll start with you.
Okay, thank you, because that was the point I was going to make. They were booking this as the final chapter. You know, it's the final chapter of this feud, so... Now we all know in wrestling that never happens, never, you know, be it WWE or ever, you know, there's never a final one between guys like this. But if they just keep them apart long enough and just move them on, and the feud's over now. It's got to be over. And I think the fact that Maurice did not get involved in this match at all was a little bit of storytelling. About this being the final chapter, because it's definitive. There's no Maurice cheating in this, you know, to make, you know, Dolph be able to say, look, I got fucked. Nope, you know, Miz won cleanly. You know, he hit him in the nuts a few times, but, you know, anything goes.
It's a fucking ladder match.
Exactly, exactly. And so I think the storytelling aspect there was really, really on point. I just wanted to add that.
All right, Devin, where do you think we go? And I know that you've said this on Twitter, that you are kind of upset about the constant teasing of a Daniel Bryan Miz match, knowing that it probably will never happen. So where do you think that's going to continue, and where do you think Miz goes from here?
It will continue. That's just me being a fanboy for the most part. You know, and it's just, you know, it is a little frustrating. It's coming upon that time of year where, well, typically in the last 5 years since the end of the first brand split, they have it, you know, they did this where it's the holidays and they just kind of go through the motions on shows. So I wonder if they're actually going to do some angles on shows now, because we haven't kind of been through a holiday run, on a separate Raw brand and a separate SmackDown brand in like 5 or 6 years, and maybe even longer, really, even before the first brand extension ended. But so I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll see a few, you know, tags or something between Miz and Ziggler to kind of round out for the next couple of weeks, and then they'll move on to something for the Rumble. But I'm not sure where we're gonna go from here yet. So. kind of left.
Yeah, because you look at the SmackDown singles babyface side, and it is lacking heavily.
Right.
There really isn't anybody. I mean, I where I'm going, I think now that if you're going to do something different, I mean, now that he's not a tag champion no more, you go with Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have Miz and Slater do something. I mean, because the Rumble is a Rumble. So, I mean, I think
Johnny's original idea.
Dude, I think I called that a while ago. I thought Slater was the guy to... So they can
there's just nobody. Do that, there's nobody there. They have a dearth of baby faces on the SmackDown side. All right, now we have our next match is a chairs match, which is a match that I've over the years pretty much really didn't care for as a gimmick. But this one tonight was different. Baron Corbin against Kalisto, and wow, what a match this was, Devin. I think this was the best chairs match ever. Probably the best match Baron Corbin's been in. And Kalisto, you know, he had that really strong match with Ryback this year, a couple of them actually. This is one of his best matches of the year. This definitely over exceeded my expectations. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was great. Baron Corbin is awesome. Like, he's legitimately a good wrestler now. Like, I mean, I always liked him in the ring fine, but he's... Tonight showed how good of a base he was, which is big in a match like this, where you set up your spots well and stuff like that. I mean, he was excellent in this match. I thought his selling, big man selling, was pretty good. I think Kalisto is one of the better workers in the company, and I thought he was amazing in the first half of the year until he got hurt. So I wasn't surprised to see him do so well, but Corbin blew me away in how good he was in this match. And some of the spots in this were insane. You know, the seated senton to the chairs. What a bump by Corbin. I mean, good Lord. Clearly did not feel good. It was really good. Kalisto doing a moonsault and catching Corbin in the chair with his knees. The deep six on the floor. You know, and of course,
insane looking spot.
Yeah, and of course even the end of days and the finish looked really nasty, and of course the setup to the finish was brutal. So
I tell you what, Baron Corbin spins guys around maybe as good as anybody ever in wrestling.
Oh yeah, he's got those those spinning slams down pat. He's really good at it. I mean, he's an athletic big guy, so he can move around really well.
He's also really good at having the right facial expressions while it's all going on.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it was a great match. It probably was the best chairs match I've ever seen for sure. So big A plus on that match.
All right, Johnny, Kalisto debuted some new tights here. Gone to the short tights here.
The budgies.
I'm curious. Somebody joked to me on Twitter that he was wearing his Lucha Underground type gear, like he's going into Aztec Warfare.
Or Lucha
what
Underwear.
What do you think about the match?
Lucha Underwear, come on.
And where do you see these two going in the future, especially Corbin? Where does he go next?
Well, I really don't know, which is, it's one of the things, you know, when you're like, I wonder what they're going to do next, maybe put him with Ziggler.
I just thought about this, I mean, just came into my head, as Devin was actually talking, do you think that, you know, the way that Miz and Corbin have been going at Bryan, that Bryan makes them wrestle each other?
That's possible. Yeah, I don't know. You kind of want someone's going to be Brian's conquering hero guy. You're not going to want to be him, but maybe they could do a weird thing where Miz and Brian actually they let it go at this point. You know, like back off from each other a little bit. They could do that, but as far as this match goes, I was like the crowd at first. I was so emotionally exhausted from the IC match. I didn't care, even though I like both guys and I like the feud. And also, chairs matches stink, you know, generally. They're awful. Because, number one, they don't even make sense. It's like, okay, you can fucking yeah, use chairs. No. Why can you... Are you only allowed to use chairs? That's dumb, you know? And they're generally dumb. And then, little by little, I'm watching these two guys tear the goddamn house down. It's fucking nuts. They were taking, both of them, the sickest fucking bumps. Told an amazing story in that match. Both of them were just, everything about, not just the moves and the bumps, but just the body language and everything. They were amazing. This was outstanding, and I just thought maybe to the crowd there live, they just blown their load, basically, you know. And it's hard to do that twice in a row because they weren't really into it, which is a shame because this match was fantastic.
Well, the crowd was interesting all night long because the crowd, yeah, to me, were. was dead for a lot of the, I mean, for most of the show.
Yeah,
they say what they would do is they would do the right chants and the right pops for the right spots. The perfect example, and I'll go ahead and talk about it now, so I've thought about it. Mm-hmm. In the main event, you know, because, you know, at one point in the match, there's people chanting for The Undertaker, and they're just sitting there lifeless. Then all of a sudden, here comes a big spot. This is awesome. This is awesome. So it's like they knew when to pop and when to hit their chance.
Yeah, but
and when to be happy.
But in a lot of the, you saw a lot of the main event, but in the earlier stuff, there was a lot of them booing the right guy, you know, and cheering the right guy as well with this crowd.
Well, Miz and Dolph were split chants.
There was I think Miz started to get, there was a pocket of people cheering for Miz, and by the end there were more, and that was just people cheering his work, basically.
Then you had Orton being the most over guy in his match.
Which, that's crazy. Him. I was like, why does Dallas love Randy Orton so much?
So, yeah. I mean, they were definitely dead for the Nikki Carmella match, and
yeah.
They were dead for this next match. But first, before we talk about the match, Dasha interviewed Natalya backstage about what Carmella said about her, and she just basically blew it off and said she wished Becky the best of luck in her match. And she did say Carmella was a liar. She said liars lie, so we'll see what happens there.
Dun, dun, all right.
And speaking of Becky, the Women's Championship tables match, Becky Lynch against Alexa Bliss. This match, I think, was sloppy in ways. I think the gimmick hurt the flow of this match. Alexa yep. seemed to be a little off to me. I think she was behind a little bit. I mean, it picked up a little bit later on, but I don't know. Johnny, we'll start with you. Thoughts about this match and the finish, the title change. It kind of surprised me. What was your thoughts on that?
I thought the match was fine. I agree it started off a little slow, but then I thought they kind of really did find their groove about halfway through, and I really started enjoying it. But as far as the title change, I loved it. Because there's a perfect dichotomy between the two characters. And number one, I think Alexa Bliss is super turned it on since she'd come up on the main roster. You know, and it's like, okay, here's your chance, kid. Impress us. That's what she's been doing. And that's why she's in the position she's in right now.
As a character, I totally agree.
She is
awesome.
They care more about that. They care more about that.
Yeah, as a character, she's awesome. And she has shown that she could have good matches.
Mm-hmm.
But her work hasn't caught up to her character yet.
But I'm sure
she'll get better.
Yeah, but that's
she'll get better.
Yeah, know she's gonna get better, and they don't give a shit. They respect what they respect. Anywho, the dichotomy of these two characters can't be more simplistic and better. Becky Lynch is a tomboy, you know, gruff, you know, I've been working for 10 years, earned everything I had, and cute, and had his name Becky, and her arch enemy is this gorgeous little cute thing who was a cheerleader and a gymnastics girl who had everything handed to her in life. This is the character they've made for her. But she's also just a bitch and evil and has a Napoleon complex. It's a perfect arch-enemy situation between these two. And they wrestle that way. So I was really enjoying that more than anything else. And because I love the bad guys, when the bad guy won, I was like, good. And because also, that belt matches her gear. She had to have it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just caught me off guard because I was thinking Becky was going to win the feud and then move on to something else. But, hey, I mean, it's different. Devin, thoughts about the match here? And Becky's promo after the match was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's kind of where the, you know, possibilities of things. Maybe the Natty situation isn't what it is. But regardless, the match I thought was fine. I'm with Johnny. I don't really like tables matches. Like, I agree chairs matches are stupid because it's dumb. But, like, at least the matches are brutal. Like, with a tables match, like, I just don't like the setup of a table and, like, the... I mean, I've seen good tables matches, and they work the match, you know, really smartly, I thought, you know, because, you know, the whole point of a tables match is to put somebody through a table, so they work the whole match around trying to put their opponent through a table. You know, I mean,
it's
a cheap way
of having somebody lose without doing a job.
Well, yeah, but although I thought Alexa won, to me it actually felt pretty clean the way she won. I mean, she powerbombed her through a table.
She did. She won clean.
Yeah, but still, it's not a 1-2-3 pinfall, you know.
I see what you're saying, but yeah, but you know, it was the match was fine. I'm fine with Alexa winning, mostly because I think she's really good. So you know, I was fine with it, and it was a nice little surprise. And it kind of kept with the interesting trend of heels winning tonight, which we might get to later. But
yay.
It was fine. Becky's promo afterwards, you know. Fantasy booking, whatever. I mean, maybe she, but you know, I think probably she's just upset for losing the match. You know, I mean, she just lost her title that she fought so hard to win. So it'll be interesting to see her direction going forward, though. After this loss,
I don't think this feud's over. I mean, since it wasn't a definitive job.
So I don't think so.
I think
either.
They're gonna hook it back up again, and Becky might get the belt back. Who knows? But we'll see. I mean,
which points to something real quick that they've been doing a lot lately in WWE is guys trading belts in feuds that are going
on.
Sasha and Charlotte, Joe Nakamura. They're doing this now where, like, no, a feud is not over. We're going to feud over this belt. I think that's sort of a very positive direction about, like, guys fighting over belts, you know, when people felt the belts don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah. It can be, but the problem is unlike the old days when that was going on house shows and stuff like that. This is not I mean, we're not seeing them every week. I mean, we weren't seeing them every week back then. Now
right. But I mean, just in the presentation of it, like long feuds, you know.
Sure. But that's a problem with the way they do it these days is that they have to be involved with each other every week. You know, and they're either wrestling each other or something's going on, and it just burns it out.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of an overexposure thing. I mean, there's a lot of TV, so I mean, I can definitely see that. And it's bothered me a few times, but
see, I'd rather err in the favor of what I like. And what I like is long drawn out feuds, because that's what I grew up with. And if it means a bunch of shit in the middle, I don't care, because all the matches have been great. As long as they keep that up.
Sasha and Charlotte haven't had a bad match.
Yeah,
Miz and Ziggler haven't had a bad match. So
you're going to get bad segments.
I'm not going to complain.
Yeah. But sometimes it could be too much in our ADD culture. You know, you're just like, God, you know, these again. You know, yeah, I know they're going to have a good match, but. I want to see some variety. I want to see somebody else get a shot.
Again, you know. But again, if you say that ADD culture, I'm like, well, that's not my culture, so I don't give a shit. I'm like,
well, long-term feuds. Most of the fans.
Long-term feuds. I'm marking out.
Again, totally different style though, because they're not. If they were doing TV squash matches every week and only having them face each other on big shows or pay-per-view or house shows, that's different. When you put them on television against each other every other week and then do big shows, then again, like I said, it gets way too much.
But I just like the direction, because it's the direction of something that I enjoy from being a 46-year-old fan. You know, like, yeah, I'll take it with warts and all. At least it's going the right way.
Yeah, so I said I was hoping all these feuds get blown off on this show because we need some fresh.
Oh, a feud. I think a few did, definitely. Yeah.
I really kind of think the only one that's, well, so far up to this point, Becky and Alexa, I think most of the other ones are blown off.
Yeah, Dolph Miz is blown off.
And the fact that you talk about the, you know, you mentioned the heels winning, I think part of that's because SmackDown is so heavy on the heel side.
Yeah.
I mean,
that could be it.
That's part of it. But anyway, main event time. The TLC match for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles against Dean Ambrose. You know, since they started doing the three separate gimmick matches and then the one match with everything in it, it's really kind of watered down the gimmick to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you got four matches on this show, it's got all this stuff involved, it gets kind of tiring. This one was like that early on. Like we mentioned earlier, the crowd was just kind of in a lull for a while there, not into it. I mean, it's stuff that we've already seen.
Exactly.
And stuff going on, but boy, did this pick up in a big way. And Devin, AJ Styles, what a performer this man is. And his pants splitting.
You know, he did not give a damn. He said, I'm going to keep working.
At the time, I thought, oh, shit, this match is now going to be remembered for his ass sticking out and fans openly laughing at him.
Oh, yeah, it was audible. I mean, they burst out laughing when he got up.
But
I felt kind of bad for him, but he didn't give a shit. He worked his ass off in the match.
Exactly. No pun intended. But he just said, fuck it. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do what I do. And he just went fucking wild. He made this a pretty great match, and then we had James Ellsworth involvement, and we got the big turn, but it wasn't the big turn that most people thought, and especially me. What did you think about how this match was and all the aftermath?
I was kind of worn out a little bit with the stipulation stuff, and my brother and Dustin and I were watching the show and just kind of talking and you know, watching the match. And then when AJ took the suplex into the chairs, we went, holy shit, and we're locked and loaded into the match after that. But, it was. I thought it was really good, the match. AJ's bumping is best-in-the-world stuff. It's insane. he's an incredible wrestler, and he's an incredible professional for being able to... I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, but people were, you know... audibly taunting him. Of course, he's a heel. I mean, shit. I mean, the heels have had their ass exposed many times in wrestling. So, in some ways, it works. But he kept working and he busted his ass in the match.
Literally.
bleeding from his ass.
Yeah.
That ass blood.
That chair. Those chairs cut his ass. What happened?
His ass will never be the same again. Those tights are going to hold the scars of this battle. Those tights will never be the same again.
I thought it was really good.
Somebody stop the damn match. The tights are torn. His ass is bleeding.
There's a hole in his ass.
There's a hole in his ass, goddammit! Stop the goddamn match!
I think Dustin said, what's after the windmill spot where Ambrose did the crazy windmill and windmilled AJ into the ladder, he said, stop hurting AJ, you already opened. He said, stop hurting AJ, you already tore him a new asshole in this match. But,
yeah, exactly.
But,
my God, kicking his ass is...
It was a great, great AJ performance, a really good match. I think the Ellsworth turn was a good idea because
Totally.
I've loved Ellsworth even up to the bitter, you know, the bitter end to some, but I mean I've liked his face character up to the end, but this was really good timing by WWE to turn him. Because listen to the crowd reaction tonight, first of all. I mean, yeah, they were a pro AJ crowd, but there were a lot of people that were booing Ellsworth.
A tired act.
Right. They turned him heel, and immediately that pop that changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really good booking by WWE. Smart writing, smart booking. And I'm actually looking forward to slimy heel little punk Ellsworth. That might be kind of entertaining. For a little while, but I mean, mm-hmm. he kind of looks like a guy you want to beat up, anyways. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of his gimmick. So, him being a heel now will, you know, amplify that, and I think it could be a good entertaining month or so with him kind of being Ambrose's pest now, and Ambrose going after him. And maybe they'll have like a wild, I don't know, speculation. Maybe they'll have a wild hardcore match where Ambrose gets his ass kicked or something. Or Ellsworth gets his ass kicked. But yeah, I thought it was a great match, great AJ performance. Right guy won, and the right idea with Ellsworth at the end of the night.
See, where I'm at with Ellsworth is Dean Ambrose needs the heel turn. Dean Ambrose needs to be reinvigorated, you know, because, I mean, he has regressed so much this past year, and I think he definitely needs a spark, and him bullying Ellsworth, and...
He's been better on SmackDown, I think.
Still, he's just, I don't know, it's just tired. To me.
Yeah.
I think a heel Ambrose bullying Ellsworth would have been, you know, better for at the moment, you know, in my opinion. Ellsworth, the thing with him is you turn him at this stage, you know, that's kind of quick because you just signed him to a deal. God, I don't know. I think it's too quick.
I know exactly why.
I think... Why?
Because, as we said, the act... Me and Pete were talking about this about a month ago. The act was going to get stale, and you saw people were starting to boo, and were starting to boo.
Oh, it's true.
We were saying, what you need to do is make him AJ Stooge, because there's more money and there's more longevity in him being AJ's Stooge than there is with this... You know, character which I was sick of, everyone's already sick of, and now, but there's a lot of potential with him as a stoogey douchebag, and that's why he gets the contract, because now there's a character you can invest in with a contract, because he's got there's a lot of runtime with him as AJ's little stoogey heel manager, pretty much, you know, so... My thing is
that Dean's want to act like an asshole to him,
and that's his reason for turning.
But I've also seen people say, and this would be interesting if that happened, is they don't think this is a heel turn. They think the deal is that Ellsworth didn't want Ambrose to win the title; he wanted to win the title from AJ himself, since he's beat AJ 3 times.
Okay, if they go that way, then I'm going to be angry, because being AJ Stooge is a great idea, and that's not.
Yeah, the AJ Stooge I like way more. It's there's a possibility that might be the case, Chris. I hope not.
He was cheering AJ though, so
yeah. That's the key, I think.
Well, maybe, right. But AJ was about was about to give him the Styles Clash on the floor too. You know, so it's kind of like
they're sneaky. I think they're a bunch of sneaky.
But AJ know he was going to turn. I don't think AJ knew.
They're a bunch of sneaky Southerners. Come on, man.
and like I said, SmackDown again is so light on baby faces that Ellsworth. Yes, of course. I mean, the act was stale, but I think with Ambrose bullying him, that may have been able to rejuvenate Ellsworth a little bit and get him more sympathy because this was his buddy that's, you know, pissed off and jealous that he's beating AJ Styles and he can't do it. So now he's, he's turned on him, and maybe they get sympathy from the fans in that regard, and that way you can build off of that.
Yeah, but I think there's
a lot of stuff that
I think maybe disregarding just how much people really love Dean Ambrose in that crowd, you know, whether tonight,
and a lot of other places too.
I'm just saying, but he kind of is still, you know, and he's a babyface. You know, I just met somebody who just started watching wrestling the other day, and it's a girl, and she's like, "It's Dean Ambrose. He's my favorite. You know, I just started watching him. He's just the best." I was like, "Okay, that guy's got really like okay, but he's got a lot of." I totally see every baby face does. Like Hogan was an asshole, so and he did some asshole shit.
All WWE baby faces are assholes. The Rock, Austin, Cena.
Yeah, you know, and now he was an asshole to Ambrose. Even he, you know, make fun of my chin, will you? You know. God.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where it ends up. But Johnny, I mean, what thoughts about the match?
Oh, I agree with you completely on the whole. Seen it. Yeah, you saw a chairs match, you saw a tables match, you saw a ladders match. Here's everything together. And you're like, you know, I've seen all these spots already. There was a lot of that in the first half of this match. You're exactly right. And I was a little bored. But just as you said, then they turned it up on. It was all around AJ's bumping and also Ambrose's, you know, facial expressions and his, like, exhausted, you know, maniac shit, which was really, can be goofy, but here it wasn't. It worked. Everything worked. That second half. The first half, again, it was like, I'm burnt out on this shit, which is, I've never been a fan of a pay-per-view where every match is a gimmick match. I never liked that. It's not. I don't like it. I like gimmick matches in cards. You know, not one card with nothing but gimmick matches. I always hated it. And I think
I like gimmick matches organically. Not we have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. But even if it's like okay, the match, the pay-per-view is Elimination Chamber. I'm okay with that. But it's like
sure.
You know, that would make sense.
Yeah,
because they're bringing it back in February
that was always my favorite. So
right,
I didn't like the other one
because normally more often than not, especially when we had brand split, whichever brand didn't win the Rumble, they had the Elimination Chamber.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You can do really clever booking in those matches too. So
yeah.
Really good book.
Yeah, and since it's a Raw pay per view this year, I guess that telegraphs a SmackDown guys won the Rumble. So, you know, you can make your conclusions there, John Cena. But, I mean, so it's definitely going to be interesting how that goes down the road. But, yeah, I never liked the whole, all right, Hell in a Cell, because we got Hell in a Cell, you know, on this month. We have to have all the Hell in a Cell matches.
The angle. And they did. Everyone went out there tonight and killed it. This was a great, great pay per view. They killed it. But yeah, I want it organic. I don't want it because that's the pay per view. It always bugs me. Yeah, and I think that's why the first half of this match suffered a little bit because we already saw it all. You know, once you've seen it all, You know, but then they turned it around and went fucking apeshit, and it was and it ended great. But that's a problem, with, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I agree. All right, now it's our thoughts on the show. Johnny, we'll start with you. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
Definite thumbs up, and I was expecting to go thumbs in the middle because I normally don't like these. But I thought this was a great show. An amazing improvement from their last one, which I'm just going to blame on Donald Trump, so fuck him.
All right. Devin?
Thumbs up. Yeah. I thought had three really good matches. A couple feud enders. Really good closing angle. I liked it. Good show.
I'll go thumbs up, but not over enthusiastically. I mean, there was some stuff on here that wasn't so great, but as a whole, it was a thumbs up show. And God knows it was a million times better than the show I watched last night on Flow Slam, the House of Hardcore show, which was god awful. Bob Holly, Sammy Callahan.
Didn't they draw a huge crowd? Did they draw a huge crowd for
them? Yeah, they did. Hey, they had a really really good crowd there, and a really nice looking building in Waukesha, or wherever they call it. Wisconsin.
It was a dome, right?
Yeah, it was a dome building. Yeah. It was kind of like that old Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, God knows that show was horrible. Other than Bob Holly, Sammy Callahan, which everybody needs to watch.
Really?
Bob Holly's great.
Oh, I've always thought Bob Holly was a fucking
great
wrestler.
He is in the best shape of his life, Johnny. Guy's 50.
No shit.
He's awesome. Jack. And he was out there with him and Sammy were just ripping it up.
No, you know, I really want to see that. Like I really want to see that.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody go check that out. Yeah. Don't watch the Matt Stryker versus Connor Braxton match.
Wait.
Does Matt Stryker? Wait, is this Matt Stryker the shitty announcer or the guy with the unibrow?
Yes, him. It's him wrestling.
Shitty announcer.
The match is built around spots on a hoverboard and twerking contest.
Does he bleed?
No, he does not bleed.
Oh, then fuck him.
But Rob Van Dam's girlfriend has a big old ass. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But
yeah, good anyway, for Rob Van Dam.
Plugs, huh?
Good for Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, she was Connor's his valet or whatever. But plug time, Johnny. What's going on with Titans and Brainbuster these days?
We were going to be doing a new Brainbuster, but I had to postpone it because of work shit. We just started a new Titans special about the best talkers that was initially supposed to be everything. And we did the 70s in 2 hours and realized this is going to have to be a series. So it'll be the next series of podcasts is us talking about great
talkers. Just 2 hours, Johnny?
Something like that. And it was long, and then we realized we're gonna start the 80s now.
Pop out a 5-hour show. Let's do it between the sheets. Go five.
Well, that's sort of the point. We didn't want to. yeah, no offense. We're like, oh no. And it was the middle of the night because we're adjusting our schedules for Parvs. So he doesn't have to be up in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's great.
So the three of us are up in the middle of the night to accommodate Parv. Because, you know, we're a team. We're like the fucking horsemen, motherfucker. So there you go. But that's coming up. But also, me and Kelly just did our Imaginary Stories podcast. Because I know there's a definite crossover of comic book fans and wrestling fans.
Oh, you got that right.
Yes, and we just dropped... part one and part two is coming out of Spider-Man in the 60s that we talk about, which is a ton of fun. And if you dig comic books, you'll really, really enjoy it. If you don't dig comic books...
Is this going to include reviews of the cartoon?
No. We were full comics. I mean, trust me, the cartoon is definitely present in this. But no, we were just talking about the comic books.
Okay. And then you can hear all those shows on the Place to Be Nation Network. And let's mention this real quick. My good friend Les Moore of SheetSandwich.com had the Sheety nominations reveal show on Saturday. And Johnny Sorrow, yet again, nominated for Best Voice.
Yes.
So let's vote for Johnny so he can win that award this year, because he does have the best voice on podcasts. And Place Be Nation Network, of course, nominated for Best Network as well.
I
want to be the Susan Lucci. The Susan Lucci, the
exactly. That's it. I want to be the Susan Lucci of the Sheeties.
And then when you start losing your voice, you'll get an award. You get the token award for your Lifetime Achievement Award or whatever.
Oh yes.
When your voice is starting to go.
I want it to be when I actually have a cancer kazoo and I smoke through a hole in my neck.
When you become Chemical Man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to win.
I am sad. I accept the award for Best Voice.
Yes. Maybe King can lend me his old cancer kazoo.
Oh, that worked. Yeah. Oh God, yes. What memories of that, Devin? You have posted some updated stats lately on your blog, haven't you?
Yeah, I finished September's rankings the other day. I'm only 3 months behind.
fucking slacker. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Just a little bit. But, we'll pretend that I will get October and November out before Christmas. But we'll see.
Football's ending, so we'll have Saturdays now.
That's true, and the holidays are coming up, so I'll have time to sit through and watch this stuff. But follow me on Twitter at KingMotivatorH, and my blog that is way behind is WrestlingVirtues.blogspot.com. That's also on my Twitter page. And that's pretty much all I got going. Otherwise, I sit around. So
yeah, I hear you on that. All right, now let's see. For me, we have we got Between the Sheets, of course, is out today. Matt Farmer joined us for the second half of the show. He wasn't able to do the first half, talking about Randy Savage debuting at WCW and how Vince McMahon tried to stop it the day before it happened. We have the funeral of Art Barr and how everything was going in Mexico with the reactions of everybody involved and how that affected them working on shows. Not a good situation for some of those people. Then we have this random stuff going on in Japan, Memphis, Smoky Mountains changing up a lot of stuff, new talent coming in, Chris Candido coming to WWF, and Brian Armstrong joining WWF as well. So a lot of interesting stuff on that show, so check it out. XL and Bad Street dropped on Friday night, so just go check that out. It's been 3 months since the last episode. Barrow's back on to discuss Florida Gold. 1973, 1976, the Southern and Florida heavyweight titles, the champions, people who held them, talk about their feuds. Really informative show. Cool. Barry is the best at Florida wrestling. His mind's a steel trap. The stuff he retains from 40 years ago is amazing to me. Wow. Just love that show. And, talking about the early rise of Dusty Rhodes, and just random other people that was there, like Bob Roop and Steve Kern, and guys who were stars there and why they were. And we're going to be doing more of those shows in the future, so go check that out.
Chris, that sounds amazing, because even now, when we were kids, Florida was this, like, you'd hear about stuff, but you never got to see any of it. And even to this day, we don't get to see any of it. And it's legendary, great stuff.
Yeah, Florida, and we talk about it on the show, and we talk about how Florida is like the unsung territory.
It really is.
Everybody talks about Georgia, we talk about Mid-Atlantic, we talk about Mid-South, but Florida just doesn't get it. And it's because their peak ended pretty much right as, the boom happened, with cable television and stuff, and it's interesting because Florida had television penetration in New York in the early 70s. And, had it there for many, many years. So they were sharing time. WWF was paying for ad time to promote the garden shows on mm-hmm. their on those shows.
Now, so, no, and if you were from the Northeast like me, and you got the magazines, Florida was this place that you wish you could see that you couldn't. It was nuts.
Yeah, Dusty was the king of yeah. king of the hill, and he's all over the yeah. aftermags. And you know, it's those shows are great. There's two Florida shows, and there'll be more in the future. Believe me. Because this is so much great discussion on those shows. So check that out. Got another Exile coming down the pipeline, another Between the Sheets. So I'm going to have a lot of podcasts coming out pretty soon. So keep listening. And they will be on PlaceBeNation.com. May not be on the network anymore, but still on the website. So go check that out. Also, Patreon.com Between the Sheets. If you want to be a patron, check it out. And a new show debuted last week, part two of our expansion series. And the WWF going to from April to July or August 84, including Black Saturday discussion and lots of Japanese discussion and all the wild, wacky shit that was going on over there at the time with people getting ready to jump and left and right and who's lying and who's telling the truth. Love that show. A lot of great stuff on that show. So check all that stuff out. Anyway, enough of that. Johnny, Devin, thank you as always for being on the show.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Who knows if Will will be back with us next time. I know he's gallivanting around the country.
No, at this point, Will's going to be just like that documentary, and he's going to be eaten by a grizzly bear.
Who knows where he's going to be. He's the most interesting man in America right now. It's like
he really is. He's like, where's Waldo?
Yeah. So who knows when good old Will be back. But anyway, this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.